Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we'll be continuing is on Daf Vav, about 2/5 of the way from the top. You'll notice at the end of the line there's a two dots. The Gemara begins with a question, Ibaya Laho, but before we read the Gemara itself, let's glance at the topic heading we've assigned to this piece of Gemara. You'll find it on the outside margin under the heading Nosei, topic. Korban Shehukrav Sheloi Lishma, Eino Mechaperes Alma Shebo, a sacrifice that was offered without a focused intent on it. That's what we call Loi Lishma. So it's incapable of offering atonement for what it was originally designed to accomplish. Let's see. The Gemara presents this issue as a question. Ibaya laho. Kipru alma shebo oiloi kipru. This is a reference to sacrifices that were slaughtered shaloi lishmoi and then offered up on the mizbeach. Are they mechaper? Do they offer atonement for what they were originally designed to do or not? The Rashi explains a little more elaborately, further down on the page, Kipru al mashibo, kochim shenizbuchu shaloi lishmon, v'korvu, sacrifices that were slaughtered without the correct intent, and they were then offered on the altar. Utnan, our Mishnah taught us, Lo olu l'shem choyvo v'tzorch l'hovi acher, that the owner does not fulfill his obligation, and in order to do so, he has to bring another sacrifice. Mihu, mi bayale, the question here is, Im kipru al hachet shehufrishu olav, do they, in this form, atone for the sin for which they had been separated, for which they had been originally dedicated? The nafka mina, the practical outcome of this is shelo yidag min hayisurin bein chayim, that the owner, until he brings the replacement one, he would not have to worry about possible afflictions and pains that he would have to receive because of the sin that he committed. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi. Mistabra de lo kipru. It's most likely that this korban that's brought lo lishma has no atonement capacity. The isal kedai to kipru, because if one were to think that it does atone, sheni lo mahuba. So what's the purpose of bringing a replacement one? And yet the Mishnah teaches us that he does bring a replacement one. The elamai. So what do you want to say? Lo kipru. Do you want to conclude that they do not atone? Well then, lama hu karev. So then why is the first one after it's slaughtered, shelo lishma, why is it offered? Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi, hochi kokashile. Rav Ashi comes to explain why Rav Shisha is more troubled by the second one than the first one. In other words, if you glance back just a few lines where you see Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi's name underlined, he came to a conclusion that the first one most likely doesn't offer atonement, because otherwise, what role would the second one have? Why is he focused on that second one? Why does he see that as being the key to our question? So the Gemara explains. I amris bishlama loy kipru. If you say that the first one does not afford atonement, and nevertheless it's offered, that I can explain how something that doesn't afford atonement is nevertheless offered, because shaloi lishmoi mikoyach lishmoi kaasi. The first korban that is currently that was slaughtered shaloi lishmo, but it was dedicated lishmo. It was dedicated. It was set aside originally to be done properly. So you have an animal, a sacrifice, that was slaughtered, albeit shelo lishmo, but its origin was lishmo, was designed to be done properly. So if you messed up on one of the steps, just continue and finish off the job. V'sheni, hu bo l'chaper, and the second one comes to offer the atonement. Elo I amris kipro, if you say that the first one does afford atonement, then the question would be sheni lama huba, why in the world is there any need to bring the second one at all? Let's glance at the Rashi further down toward the end of the narrow lines. I amris bishlama loy kipru afilu hachi mikrav korev, even if it doesn't offer atonement, I still could understand how it is offered on the Mizbeach. The Shaloi Lishmoi Mikach Lishmoi Kasi. The Lo Lishmo is coming from a Lishmo origin. The Mitchilosoi Lishmoi Hukdash. Originally, it was sanctified with its specific intent in mind. Vishani Balachapir Alachait. If you're talking about, let's say, a korban oila, mechaperes ala se oim osham hu, or if you're talking about a korban osham, yichaper ala shamo. So the second one that you bring will atone for his osham related sin. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. Before we go further, let's note what topic heading we've assigned to this. So you see on the side it says no say, and it also indicates that this topic will last till Zayin Omid Aleph. She'ela, a question. Ha'im oila shenase lishma. Up till now we've been talking about lo lishmo. Here the Gemara is going to be focusing on a proper korban ola. Is it mechaper al asei she'ovar achar shehifrish hakorban? Now, we know that a korban oila has an atoning capacity for positive offenses, for offenses or violations of positive commands. For example, if a person does not put on tefillin, he has violated a mitzvah saseh. What grants him atonement for that violation? So, amongst other things, and we'll touch on those other things later in the Gemara, but amongst other things, the korban ola is said to be a mechaper, a source of atonement for mitzvahs aseh that were violated. Let us say that someone set aside a korban ola, did not yet bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and before he brings it, he violates another mitzvah saseh. Does the korban ola that one set aside atone for offenses after its separation, after its dedication? We open up with a question in the Gemara itself, and you'll notice the question is a long question. This you can see by the little shin that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's circled with a dashed vertical line, indicating that all of these lines are part of the question. The question will be presented as a question with two sides, namely Aleph, Oy Dilma, Beis. The Oy Dilma, which means or, possibly, you'll see that phrase is squiggle underlined a few lines down from here at the beginning of the line of the Gemara, after which you see a little base indicating the second side of the question. So here it goes. Ibayalaho, aasei de la'achar hafroshe mechapro oiloi mechapro. Your standard korban oila that comes, that's done lishma. Let us say he set it aside and then violates a mitzvah saseh, a positive command, does this korban that he set aside atone for that as well? Or, possibly no. The first side of the question of the analysis is as follows. Aleph, you see? That means this is the first side of the analysis. Mi amrinon, do we say, midi dahavi achatos, that the ola is parallel to a korban chatos, ma chatos dekoidim hafrosha in delach hafrosha loi, just like a korban chatos atones only for the offense for which it was set aside for, and does not atone for offenses committed after it was sanctified. If a person sanctified a korban chatos because he violated a chatos related avera, if he then set aside and sanctified a korban for that, and then went ahead and violated again a chatos related offense, so the animal that he set aside will not atone for that subsequent offense. Af hocha nami, so too over here in the case of the ola, the koidim hafroshin lach hafroshaloi, it atones only for those violations or violations of mitzvah saseh before its dedication and not afterwards. Oy dilma loy damyo lechatos, or possibly we're going to argue that the ola is not parallel to a chatos, and why not? The chatos al kol chet vechet boy lesuye chad chatos. A chatos works in a one-per-customer fashion. That means for every chatos offense one does, he has to separate a separate chatos. In other words, if a person ate some chelev and ate some dam and ate on Yom Kippur, which are all, let us say, chatos-worthy offenses, he'll have to set aside three separate chatos, one for the chelev eating, one for the dam consumption, and one for the eating on Yom Kippur. V'hocha, in the case of a korban oila, kevon de'i iko kamo ase gabe mechapro. The oila, on the other hand, if a person, let us say, did not put on tefillin, he did not hear the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, he did not take take the lulav and the what we call the arba minim on Sukkot, so he violated several mitzvahs asay, and then sets aside one korban ola. That's sufficient. One korban ola covers numerous asays. So by virtue of the fact that the ola has this expansive atonement capacity, asay delachar afrosha. Notice we have a singular quotation marks around these three words. It helps you read it more easily. We call this a phrase marking. So, by the same token, for an asay lachar frosha nami mechapro, the korban ola might have this capacity of atoning for violations after its dedication, after it's set aside. So with that, the question has been asked. And now we go on to attempt to answer it. You'll notice a new geometric form as far as the sugya is concerned. We have a diamond here. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a heading, a structural note, which helps to explain the role of the geometric forms per sugya. So the diamonds that you'll see are nisyonos lifshoit she'elo hanal. These are attempts to answer the question of kapora, the achar hafrosha. So we present an attempted answer, toshma. We also have labeled this number one in the little space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, because as you skim ahead to Omid Beis, you'll see that we attempt to answer this again with a second toshma on Omid Beis. So toshma, come and hear the following source. V'somach v'nirtze loy l'chapir olav. Literally, in this pasuk says he places his hands on the animal's head and it atones for him. And on this, the Brisa asks, you can see that we have a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it appears in a framed fashion. In our marking system, all Tanaic literature is placed in a frame to set it aside from the rest of the Gemara text. So the Brisa asks, V'chi smicha mechaperes? Is it so that the placing of the hands on a sacrifice is what offers atonement? V'haloi ein kapora elo bedam. The primary form of atonement is through the blood sprinkling. Shneamar ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper. The pasuk indicates that it's through the blood that there is kapora. Elamat hamadomar v'somach v'nirtza lechaper. What's the meaning, therefore, of this pasuk that we opened up with? Shima saw the smicha shiori mitzvah. If a person treats smicha as a subsidiary ritual, namely, he doesn't do it. Ma'al of hakosav kilu lo kiper. The pasuk views him as if he has not achieved atonement because he left out one of the procedures in the korban offering. However, v'kiper, in reality, though, he does get kapara. My kiper, umay lo kiper. What do these expressions mean in this source? You're telling me on the one hand, lo kiper, and on the other hand, yes kiper. My lav, what must this mean? De kiper, asay de koidim hafrosha. That the korban that he's bringing offers atonement for the assay violation prior to the animals being set aside and dedicated. Lo kiper, he does not get atonement assay de smicha for his violation of smicha. Smicha is a positive command to place one's hands on the korban. In this case, and what's the example featured above is one who did not do that. So he does not get atonement for the violation of the assay of smicha. Now, when is smicha done? Well, it's after he set aside the korban, isn't it? The havi le assay to la achar hafrosha. And we've dashed underlined this because this is the climax of the toshma. This is the climax of the attempted answer. We see from here that lo kiper on an assay of that was violated after the korban was set aside. We now have a new geometric form, a triangle with a colored in tip, and on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice the Mivneh heading here indicates the triangles appearing in two directions, and if you skim ahead in the Gemara text itself, you'll see we have triangles in two different directions. Ma'akav achar maso matan. This is simply an attempt to keep track of where you're holding. So right now, we had an attempted answer, and the conclusion would have been that the oilah is not mechaper for assays violated after the korban was set aside. Here we have a rejection. Omar Rava, assay desmicha ko amris. Are you trying to bring a proof from the case of an individual who did not do the smicha? Shiny hosam, that's different. The kokama de lo shachit, as long as a person has not slaughtered the animal, be'amod u'smoch koi, he is expected to do the smicha. In other words, he has, until the shechita, he hasn't violated the assay at all. Emas havi assay. At what point is there a violation of the assay? The achar shechita, after the slaughtering. Only at the point of slaughtering can we say that you have not fulfilled, that you violated and you did not fulfill the expected assay of placing the hands. Now you have a situation where the animal has already been slaughtered. Well, the achar shechita lo ka mibayalon. This is what Rova claims, that as far as atonement capacity of a korban to atone for things done after its slaughtering, no one says that is a possibility. In other words, once a korban is slaughtered, according to Rava, there is no chance of atonement, and that's not even raised as a question. So at this point, the question, our original question remains, and we cannot bring a proof from the example of smicha. Omar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda L'Rava Emo. Now he comes, Rav Huna comes to explain the expression kiper velo kiper at the end of the Brisa and suggests Emo kiper gavra lo kiper kameshmaya. Let's take a look at the Rashi at the end of the page. Kiper Gavra, al kol asei shebiyodo, v'nitzal min hayisurin. This Brisa that spoke about the fellow who brought the korban without placing the hands on the, without doing smicha, without doing the placing of the hands on the animal. The fellow who brings this korban, we could say kiper, that he is, his sins are atoned for. And lo kiper kamishmaya, Rashi at the top says, lo kiper kamishmaya, lenachas ruach lekoinoi, to create a sense of pleasantness with the Almighty. The lo'ovad mitzvah min amuvchor, because he didn't do it in a proper way. He didn't do smicha. Mi lo tnan, do we not have the following? And before we go too much further in the Gemara, let us just point out that this discussion, or this point that Rav Huna Bar Yehuda is making, is a, we can call it his suggestion, is a long, it's a long suggestion, or a long question, if you will. He's asking, can we not offer this interpretation of Kiper Gavra and Lo Kiper Kamishmaya? It goes and started on the bottom of Amud Aleph. You can see the little shin to the immediate right hand, left hand side of the Gemara text, indicating a Sheila. He's asking, can you not say this? And this question lasts quite a few lines down from the top, and just keep track of the length indicator, the dashed vertical line, and you can see at which point his question ends. So he continues at the top line now. Milo Tnan, have we not been taught the following? We have a source dealing with a mitzora, a person who experienced tzoras, which is a form of ritual impurity that involves certain skin discolorations. That individual, when he completes his tzoras period, he goes through a purification process, which involves the bringing of a korban, which part of the bringing of the korban involves some oil applications. With that brief introduction in mind, we can continue here. V'hanoisar b'shemen asher al kaf v'chiper olav hakoyen l'fnei Hashem. The if there is leftover oil in this tahara ritual, the leftover oil that is in the hand of the kohen is then placed on the head of the mitzora, the client coming for his purification. Rashi explains on the second line from the top, im nosan shirayim, the leftover oil, al roish mitzora kiper. The kaporo hamatonos harosh ksiva. This pasuk is in the context of the placing, or of the remaining oil on the head of the mitzora. So the brisa goes on to this Tanaic source goes on to say, im nosan kiper. If the kohen applied the remnant oil on the head of the mitzora, then kiper. V'im lo nasan lo kiper, divrei Rabbi Akiva. From Rabbi Akiva, it seems that if he didn't do the head application, so then there's no atonement, and there's no purification. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri disagrees and says, shiore mitzvahein, this issue of residual oil application is shiore mitzvah. It's not the main facet of the procedure. It's a by the way procedure. And as a result of that, bein nitan, bein shelo nitan kiper. Whether it was applied or not, the atonement is achieved. The atonement, and hence the purification, is achieved. Umalin olov kiilu lo kiper. But if it wasn't done, it's considered as if he did not achieve the kapara. My ki lo kiper. What do you mean by that last expression that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri used? I lema dimiboy le lasie korban achrina. If he didn't do the final oil application, it's demanded of him to bring a replacement korban, to go through the procedure again. Ho Amris, but you just got finished saying before, Bain Nitan, Bain Lo Nitan Kiper, whether it was done or whether it wasn't done, atonement and purification is achieved. So what does this source mean? Ela Kiper Gavra. Kiper means that even if the oil head application was not done, atonement is achieved. The basic necessity and obligation has been fulfilled. Lo Kiper, the final expression that said Kilo Kiper, means Kame Shmaya, as far as doing it in the fullest sense, the most desirable way, that has not been accomplished. Hochonami, so too with regard to an individual who brought his korban and did not do the smicha, Kiper v'chulei. Here the Gemara is saving a little bit of ink, but it's the same thing, that Kiper Gavra, the person has fulfilled his basic sacrificial obligation by bringing the korban, and lo kiper kamishmaya, he hasn't fulfilled the korban ritual in the fullest sense because he didn't do the smicha. So the question then is, couldn't the same pshat that we say by the mitzora be applied over here to the fellow who did not do the smicha? At this point, we reject this. This was a suggestion offered by Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, where he started at the bottom of Omen Aleph. Here, notice the triangle assumes a different position, and we use these markings in order for you to keep track of the back and forth. So here the Gemara responds, Hasam Nami, in the case of the Mitzora, Kiper is a reference to Matan Bahonos, Lo Kiper, Matonos Horosh. Let's glance at the Shita Mikubetzes. The Shita Mikubetzes is found in the lower part of the Gemara page. The outside margin, you'll notice there's a title of the commentary Shita Mikubetzes. We're going to be looking in the middle of Ois Beis. Even though Ois Beis is the second line of that commentary, in the middle we see an expression at the beginning of line Vidochi. You might notice that it's been highlighted with a squiggle underline. V'dochi, deze loi mikri lo kiper b'shvil kach. The Shita Mikubetzes is presenting a pshat on the heels of what Rashi comments, but we didn't get into Rashi's pshat yet. Elo kiper equals matan b'hoinois, lo kiper equals matonos harosh, kami shmaya. V'lo also bohem nachas ruach liyotzro. Avolahovi lug achir lekuli alma lo tzorech. What the Shita is doing here, he's rejecting Rashi's pirush. Rashi on this piece of Gemara, when it says lo kiper matonos harosh, Rashi suggested he has to bring another measure of oil and do the matonos harosh. As far as the Shita Mikubetzes is concerned, that's not what is expected. But rather, the kiper is going on the specific matan bahonos, that's the thumb oil application which was done, and lo kiper is a reference to the matonos harosh, specifically to the matonos harosh which was not done. It seems from the flow and the structure of the Gemara that this is offered as an alternative to that which Rav Huna Bar Yehuda suggested on the low kiper going on Kami Shmaya, sort of a general type of low kiper. Here, it's not a general type of low kiper. It's much more focused. It's specific to the Matonos Harosh detail that was not accomplished. So from that detail, Nachas Ruach Kami Shmaya was not accomplished. Whereas, according to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda's pshat, if you left out a detail, it seems to cast a shadow on the entire korban. After all said and done, the original question was, is there atonement for aseis after hafrosha? the Gemara had tried to bring bring proof to that, or to answer that from the case of the din of smicha, but that was rejected immediately, that it does not constitute a simple offense of achar hafrosha, but rather that would be an offense of achar shchita, which is not our topic. So as far as the original question of the Gemara is concerned, it doesn't seem that it comes to a clear conclusion. Toshma. Therefore, we go on to a second attempt to answer the question, the original question of Asei Delachar HaFrosha. So we bring a source. You can see it's in a frame. At the end of the source, the Gemara picks up and says, you can see by skipping and focusing on the markings, Tohocha de Asei Delachar HaFroshahu Vika Mechapra. It seems from here that we're going to prove, we're going to try to prove, that there is atonement for an assay violation that took place after Hafrosha. Let's point out another fine point in structure of Gemara, and we're going to try to do this also with a marking aspect that we should feature. The original Toshma, the number one Toshma, tried to conclude that there is no kapara for Asei Dela HaFrosha. Here, this Toshma does the opposite, and will try to show that there is kapara for Asei Dela HaFrosha. So if you notice, with our diamonds, we have a colored in tipped diamond. The first one, the colored in tip, was at the top of the diamond. Here, the colored in tip is at the bottom of the diamond, indicating the opposite direction that each one of these proofs is trying to take. So the first one in our Mivneh note on Omen Aleph, with the colored in tip on the top, was an attempt to say low-key pair. And here, with the colored in bottom tip, it's an attempt to say key pair. Let's see the entire case now. Toshma, Rabbi Shimon Omer. And we skip the bracketed section for a moment. Si'irei atzeres lomo hein boyin. The Torah makes reference to goat offerings that are brought on Shavuos. In fact, two goats are offered. These are referred to in, one is featured in Sefer Vayikra, and a second goat offering, as far as the holiday of Shavuos is concerned, is featured in Sefer Bamidbar. So what are they brought for? Answer, Al Tumas Mikdash V'Kodoshav. They're brought for atonement purposes for violations of Tumas Mikdash, the entering the Beis HaMikdash, or consuming Korbanos in a state of Tumah. We'll see a little bit later that this realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodoshav is amongst other things, it's also a mitzvah saseh. There's a mitzvah saseh for a person who is tamei to leave the Beis HaMikdash. Before we go any further in the source, we have a bracketed section that we should read. Before even reading that, we should note also that this Toshma is part of a long marking. We have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a diamond number 2 with a vertical dashed line, which indicates the length of this particular Toshma. So we start the source again, Toshma, with Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kivsei Atzeres Lomo Hein Boyin. The sheep that are brought on Shavuos, for what purpose? So to this, the Gemara says that's not something that needs to be debated. Kivsei Atzeres Shlomim Ninhu. It's well known that the sheep that are offered on Shavuos are a korban shlomim. And the continuation of this source would make no sense if Rabbi Shimon's question is focused on Kivsei Atzeres, because the continuation of the source talks about Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. That has no relationship to the Kvosim. The Kvosim that are brought are part of the Shtei HaLechem offering that's identified with Shavuos. So Reb Shimon could not be asking a question concerning the Kivsei Atzeres. So that, and that's what the Gemara's response in this brackets is Kivsei Atzeres Shlomim Ninhu. They are Shlomim, and they're brought as part of the Shtei HaLechem offering. Ela, rather, what must Rabbi Shimon be asking about? Se'irei Atzeres Lomo Hein Boin. Why are the goats offered on Shavuos? And we explained before the two goat offerings that the Torah describes. One goat is mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, and another Shavuos goat is referred to in Sefer Bamidbar. So the source responds, Al Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. They are brought to atone for violations involving Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash and sacrifices. Nizrak Domoy Shorishoin, Sheni Lomo Korev. If the blood is sprinkled of the first goat, what's the purpose of bringing the second one? Al Tumah She'uro Bein Ze Loze. For any Tumah that occurred between the first and second goat. And more me'ata, well, if we're bringing two goats to atone for any tumah that might have taken place between the first and second one, then should we not be concerned with any moment that tumah takes place in the course of time? And more me'ata, one can conclude from this, Ru'uyin hoyu Yisrael lahakriv korbanoseim b'chol eis u'b'chol shah. There should be a constant offering of korbanos at all times, because at any given interval of time there may be a tumah violation with regard to the Beis HaMikdash or the eating of sacrifices. So why is it that there isn't a situation of around the clock sacrifices offered for this purpose? Ela shechisech akosuv. The Torah is concerned with the finances of the Jewish people and wants to save us from spending so much money for the purpose of continuous korban purchase. Now, to focus in on our topic, the Gemara goes on, the ho hocha de asei de la'achar hafrosha hu. The issue of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav it falls into the realm of mitzvahs asei. As we mentioned, there's an asei. Vishalchu min ha-machane, the Pasuk says, that the Tomei must be sent out of the camp. And the Tumah that we refer to here, that the second goat is going to Mechaper for, is Tumah that happened after the first one, after the first Korban. What are we talking about? So let's take a look at the Rashi. You can see there's a little star in the Rashi to help you find it quickly. Across from here, more or less, v'hohocho, the tuma she'iro bein ze lo ze, the tuma that may have happened between the first goat and the second goat, is asei de la'achar hafroshahu. We're talking about tuma, which is in the realm of asei, after the korban was set aside. Sherei me esmol, they were set aside from Erev Shavuos, from the day before Shavuos. These animals were set aside. The Katoni, the Sheni, Mechaper. In other words, the animals were set aside yesterday, so after the first one was set aside, so there may have been some Tumah that occurred. And there comes along the second animal to atone for the Tumah that happened after the first one was set aside. So we see, and then after that, the second one is set aside to Mechaper for Tumah. So the Gemara goes on to say that here we have a case of an asay of Tumas Mikdash Mekadoshav, the La'achar Hafroshahu, the Komechapra. And even though the second animal was set aside yesterday. So if it was set aside yesterday and is then going to offer atonement for any Tumas Mikdash Mekadoshav that happens afterwards, it must be that there is kapora for assays that are violated after hafrosha. So the Gemara says back, idaf rishinu bavas achas hochinami. If the two animals were set aside together simultaneously, the second animal would not be mechaper for anything, and there would be no need for it to be brought. What really took place here is that the animals were set aside one after the other. So the first animal was set aside to mechaper for tumas mikdash bekodoshim violations up till its being set aside. The second animal was set aside a little bit later to atone for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav that happened between the setting aside of the first and the setting aside of the second. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Hutzruch Sheni Lovo. What is the necessity of bringing the second goat offering? The Afrishinon Boze Achar Zeh. The High She'ura Bein Zeh Lo Zeh Dekotoni, the occurrence of tuma between the first and second, she'ura esmol bein hafroshoso shel zeh li hafroshoso shel zeh. It's a reference to tuma that may have arisen between the first and second goat settings aside. Ulolam asei d'achafrosh shelo mechaper, and therefore we should conclude that it does not atone for asays after they're being set aside. In other words, the tumah that may have arisen after the first one was set aside is not atoned for by the first animal. The atonement for that tumah is accomplished by the setting aside of the second animal. Now, as far as tumah that may have arisen after the second animal is set aside, that we're not accounting for that whatsoever. So, therefore, at this point in the Gemara, are saying that there is no kapora for anasei achar hafrosha. We've used the triangles again in our markings simply to keep track of the back and forth of the Gemara. So at this point, the Gemara reverses its position and says, it raises a question and says, v'leku v'leimolei l'kro d'chiksiva boze achar zeksiva. Are you telling me that we're going to limit the pasuk that talks about the setting aside of these goats to the singular circumstance of their being set aside one after the other? The pasuk itself doesn't indicate that. The pasuk speaks generally about these animals being set aside. And included in those possibilities would be they're being set aside together as well. And yet it is brought. So it's not like you said a moment ago, two lines ago, we said that if it was Afreshin Bas Achas, then there would have been no need for a second one. Because the Torah, in describing the setting aside of these animals, also takes into consideration they're being set aside together. Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa now responds and says, Karbonos Tzibur Ko Amris, are you trying to bring a proof or a conclusion to the question, an answer to the question from the realm of the goat offerings of Shavuos, which are public sacrifices? You can't use Karbonos Tzibur as a basis of answering our question of Kapora for Asei D'Lachar HaFrosha. Shiny Korbonos Sibur. The issue of public sacrifices is different. The Lev Beisdin Komasna Alehem. They are the beneficiaries of the court attaching conditions to them. In other words, when it comes to public sacrifices, public issues, the court has reign over those matters, and they can issue stipulations and the like. And as far as we are concerned, the court stipulation here would state that though the animals may have been physically set aside Erev Shavuos, they're legally not considered separated and dedicated until the moment of their being sacrificed. So that even if you have a case of both animals being set aside together, nevertheless, the second animal's legal dedication doesn't take hold until a moment before it's sacrificed. So that if the original question was that if they were separated together, dedicated together, would be no role for the second one, no point of offering the second one, that's not true. Because the second one's formal legal dedication takes place almost a full day later, namely on Shavuos itself, at the point that it's going to be sacrificed. Hence, the first animal, the first goat, is mechaper for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashev up till its separation, which was the day before, and the second goat is mechaper for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashev up till its point of sacrifice. Now, this concept of Lev Beis and Masna Lehem is illustrated in the following: Kidurav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Yomar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Korbonos Tzibur, Sakin Moishchoson Lema Shehein. Now, this is presented rather briefly as far as the Gemara is concerned. Rashi elaborates on this topic a bit more, so let's learn this in the Rashi. Korbonos Tzibur, Sakin. Sakin is the knife. Hashochton, the knife used for shechting them, Moishchoson draws them, Lama Shein Ruyin, the Oimdin, draws them into the correct realm that they are supposed to be. Vafilu lo yoda hashochet mahein, even if the one who's slaughtering doesn't know exactly what the purpose of this korban is. Kigoin, and now an example. Tamidim shalohutzuchu letzibur, daily public sacrifices that were found to be unnecessary. In what sense? Shenikhu mitruma yeshana, they were purchased through the previous year's funds. That's the truma yeshana, last year's funds. Vigia echad b'nisan, and then the first of Nisan, which represents the new fiscal year. Shemitzvah lahavi min achodesh k'namim b'rosh hashana. At that point, the daily public sacrifices are to be acquired through the newly collected funds, the newly collected shekel funds in the Trumas Halishka. Kidamrim b'Rosh Hashanah, Shechton Uksherin l'Keitz HaMizbeach. These Tamidim Shelohu Tzurchu, last year's public sacrifices that had not been used by Aleph Nisan, they are used for Keitz HaMizbeach, for Korbonus Nidovos, voluntary type korbanos, non-obligatory korbanos, used when the mizbeach is experiencing downtime. That's called leketz mizbeach. Kedin shar moiser trumos kesef anisha bekupa osa truma kshemagi echad benison shemekaitzin bo es mizbeach. As we just mentioned, funds that are left over, in this case not just animals, but funds that are left over from last year's public money collection for the Beis HaMikdash, leftover monies are used for the purchase of these kind of korbanos that are used for Keitz HaMizbeach. The Afagav, the Lashem Tamidim Nilkechu, even though these animals were purchased for the purpose of the daily obligatory public sacrifice, V'loy Lashem Oilas Nidvas Sibor, and not for the purpose of a voluntary public offering, kagoyin keitz hamizbeach, hoyel v'lo chazu l'tmidim, since when Aleph Nisan comes along, these animals are no longer fit to be brought as the obligatory public sacrifice, because that needs to be brought from the newly collected funds, karvi l'may d'chazu, they're offered anyway for whatever they are fit. Mishum delay based in Masna Lehem, because of this idea that the court stipulates what things are used for. Im hutzrichu hutzrichu, if they are used for the public daily obligatory korban tomid, then fine. V'im lav, and if not used for that, yekaitz buenas hamizbeach, then they're used for something else, for the keitz hamizbeach offering. That's all a function of lev based in masnaleim, the court's stipulation, and that is a phenomenon with regard to public offerings, and hence the whole attempt to bring to present an answer to the issue of kapora of aseis lachar afrosha from the seire atzeres, that falls away, because the seire atzeres falls under the heading of korbanos tzibur, which is governed by lev bezdin masna leim. We continue in the Gemara with a question. Notice, of course, the triangle takes a different position, so we see we're in a back and forth discussion, which continues. This is also a long question. It goes quite a way down on Zayin Omed Aleph, and we have that by the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf in an inverted triangle, a kushia, and there are two parts to this, and that's indicated by 1, and a number 2 appears the second line from the top on Zayin Omed Aleph. Omar lei Rav Yosef Breder of Shmuel l'Rav Popa. Umi islei l'Rabbi Shimon lei bezne based in Masna Leim. Don't forget, Rav Shimon was the author of the source that we saw a ways up. You can take advantage of another one of our markings. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up the page, you'll see a parallel arrow, and on that line, you'll see Reb Shimon's name is circled. It was in that source that the Seir Atzeres were mentioned, and Rav Papa made a comment concerning that source that Seir Atzeres are governed by lev based in Masna Leim. However, that source was brought in by Rebbe Shimon. The Gemara here is asking, specifically, Rav Yosef Breder of Shmuel is asking Rav Papa, how can you offer your pshat of Lev Bezin Maslam when interpreting a source brought by Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from that principle. Let's see this inside. Umi yislei l'Rabbi Shimon Lev Bezin Masna Lehem. V'omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Amram, Omar Rav Yitzhak, Omar Rav Yochanan. Tamidim shelo hutzruchu l'tzibur. Ledivrei Rebbe Shimon, Ein Niftin Tamimim. If you have korbanos that were purchased as the daily korban tamid, which is a public obligation, and it's not used, they are not able to be redeemed tamimim, namely without a blemish. If you want to talk about redemption, you'll have to wait till they get a blemish. Now, if you held that lev based in Masna Lehem, then you would be able to redeem them even without their getting a blemish, because the court could have stipulated that if they're not used, then their original sanctity never takes hold. So from the fact that Rabbi Shimon says that Ein Niftin Tamimim, that shows us right away that he doesn't hold from Lev Bezdin Masna Leim. Let's take a look at the Rashi at the top. L'divrei Rabbi Shimon, Ein Niftin Tamimim, D'hochi Gomar Lo, Rabbi Yochanan Merabei, D'pligi Bo, Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan's tradition that he received from his instructors is as follows: the Rabbi Shimon les lei lev bezin masnaleim lach shiron letamide shana haba. He doesn't hold from this idea of court stipulation that would make these animals fit for the next year's, the new year's korban tamid. Lomar that would have said the following. In other words, we have the next several lines. We have quotation marks from here down into the narrow lines of Rashi. All of this is that which Rabbi Shimon does not hold from, as follows: im hutzruchu hutzruchu, if these animals were used in the last years as last year's tamidim, then fine. V'im lav, and if they would not be used, yehei kadoshim l'dmehem, let them be Let them be sanctified with regard to their money value. Shiyiftu oisam mimois chulin boloimum. Let them be redeemed from common monies, that's mo'os chulin, without any mum, even without developing a mum, so that their sanctity would be transferred to this mundane money, v'yotziyam l'choil, and then these animals, with their sanctity being transferred to the money, would then become themselves mundane, v'yiplu demeyam l'moyser truma, and then the money would go to the temple fund, v'achakach yachzeru v'yikhu oisam mitrumo chadosha, and then you would buy back these animals from the newly collected fiscal funds, v'yuchshru l'tamidim, and then they would be fit for tamidim. And yet all of this, Rabbi Shimon holds, does not take place. Continuing in the Gemara itself, v'divrei chachamim niftin tamimim, according to the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, you could do that process. But anyway, for our purposes, we're focusing on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, by the fact that he says, Ein Niftin Tamimin, shows that this original court stipulation doesn't take effect. V'oid, and furthermore, Haba Minei Rabbi Yirmiya Mi Rabbi Zera, Si'irei Atzeres, Shekibel Domon B'shnei Koisois. The Shavuos goat offerings that were slaughtered and their blood was received in two separate vessels. V'znizrak domoy shel rishoin, and the sprinkling of the first one's dam of the first one's blood was done. Sheni lama huba, what is the purpose of the sprinkling of the second cup of dam? Al tuma shi'ura bein zrika shel zeh lezeh. It's done for the tumah that may have arisen after the first blood sprinkling, if any tumah arose after that. So then the second blood sprinkling will atone for that. Ad kan lo miboya le elo asei de la achar shchita. Up to this point, we see Rabbi Yirmiya asking about assays after the animal is slaughtered. In other words, we had the two animals slaughtered, and we're asking about a tumah violation that takes place after their having been slaughtered before the blood sprinkle. Aval assay de la achar hafrosha, lo call me by alay. But as far as the question that we began with, doesn't seem to be a question to Rabbi Yirmiya whatsoever. He doesn't seem to be bothered by that, and rather that seems to be obvious that there is that there is atonement for assays that are achar hafrosha, violations of assays that take place after the animal has simply been set aside. So the point that's trying to be made here is, why are you asking at all about asei de lo acha hafrosha when Rav Yirmiya deals with this issue? That seems to be an easily understood and resolved point from the outset, that there certainly is kapara for that. So now you can see the triangle reassumes a different position with the point flipping upwards. Dilma im timtzalomar ko'omar. If you're bothered by why we raised the question in the first place when it seems to be an obvious point to Rav Yirmiya, maybe it's not so obvious to Rav Yirmiya. Maybe Rav Yirmiya's question is really a function of a build-up of ideas. Let's see how Rashi presents this. Rashi, you'll find about halfway down the page, Dilma im timsiloma komar, Dilma travayu komi boyale. Maybe both points are issues to Rav Yirmiya. V'hochi komi boyale. Hi, bein ze lo ze, de koma Rabbi Shimon. In the original source that Rabbi Shimon spoke about atonement for tumah that happened between the first and the second, koidem hafrosha koi oi laachar hafrosha koi. We're talking about tumah that happened before they're being set aside, or tumah that happened even after they were set aside. The intim silomar la'achar afrosha nami koi. And if you say that there is atonement for tuma after they were set aside, kodem shchita or afilu lachar shchita adzrika, is there atonement for the tumas mikdash prior to their being slaughtered, or possibly even after they're slaughtered, there still could be atonement achieved through these korbanos adzrika. And we saw Rabbi Zeira answer Rabbi Yirmiyah that there is atonement even up till Zrika. V'dilma lo kaimalon k'Rabbi Zeira. And it could be that though to Rabbi Zeira, you could the question was resolved. Maybe we don't hold like Rabbi Zeira. V'lo ifshita bayon, and our original question would remain, in fact, unanswered. With that, we complete our shiur for today.